This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Tomorrow, the life of a woman who revolutionized ideas about the role of first ladies, Eleanor Roosevelt, next Talk of the Nation. Right now, a more contemporary first lady. It would be difficult to miss this week's news about Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton and her new book, Living History. It's an account of her life, especially the years she spent in the White House, and, of course, how she dealt with scandal. One of the worst moments, she writes, was the morning her husband told her that he'd been lying about his affair with Monica Lewinsky.
I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Up until now, I only thought that he'd been foolish for paying attention to the young woman, and I was convinced that he was being railroaded. I couldn't believe he would do anything to endanger our marriage and our family. I was dumbfounded, heartbroken, and outraged that I'd believed him at all.
But Living History is more than Mrs. Clinton's account of living through public pain and humiliation. She talks about her life growing up in Illinois, attending Wellesley College in the 60s, adapting to the role of First Lady of Arkansas, and later her pride at achieving a personal goal separate from her husband's career.
On January 3rd, I stepped onto the floor of the Senate to swear to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. When I turned and looked to the gallery above me, I saw my mother, my daughter, and my husband smiling at the newest senator from New York.
Those are excerpts from the audiobook version of Living History by Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton. Have you gotten hold of the book? Have you read it? Maybe skimmed it? What do you think about what you've read? Did you buy it? Why? Give us a phone call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, or you can send us email, TOTN at NPR.org. Joining us now are two people who have been following this story closely. Mark Leibovich is a political reporter for the Style section of the Washington Post, and Carl Sfiraza Anthony is author of First Ladies, Volumes 1 and 2, and America's First Families, an inside view of 200 years of private life in the White House, and welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Hi, Neil.
Mark Leibovich, you were in New York yesterday for Senator Clinton's book signing. What was that like?
It was sort of an interesting metaphor for Hillary, which is that there were about half the people gathered outside, quite a few people gathered outside protesting, holding angry signs, a few hecklers and so forth, and then a long line of people who were very, very curious to see her. She signed probably about 1,000 books in the space of about 3 hours. Clearly there's a lot of so-called buzz around this book, and it certainly revealed itself in the first couple of days.
Well, the book itself wasn't actually available to anybody until yesterday. I guess the Associated Press leaked some of it last week. But, you've had a chance to glance at it, I guess. Mark, what do you think?
Well, it's a book that is revealing in places and rarely ever cathartic. And I think there is a kind of detachment through a lot of the book that I think some people might find a little bit maddening. I think what's difficult about writing a political memoir when you're in the middle of your career, which in a sense, Hillary Clinton might very well be, is that it's all written through a political lens, and it's very, very hard to really let your hair down, so to speak, and everything is sort of written through that rubric. I found, frankly, a lot of the more refreshing parts of the book to be at the beginning. I mean, I didn't think I would care that much about her days at Wellesley or back in Chicago or even at Yale Law School, but I find that the voice earlier in the book is a lot more, I wouldn't say candid, but certainly a lot more playful, frank, seemingly. I mean, there didn't seem to be any agendas at all. And, later on, there are some nice little pockets of revelation in her White House years. But again, it seemed much more controlled. It seemed like it was written with a bit of a sort of a tight grin in some ways.
Carl Sfiraza Anthony, what's your take on this?
Well, considerably different. I think all of these women, whether they are in the midst of their own political career, or whether they are fostering a political career of their son, in the case of Barbara Bush, the political legacy of their husband, like Nancy Reagan and Rosalynn Carter. If you look at all of these memoirs of first ladies, you will generally find that the words are carefully parsed, that there is not this great sense of cathartic release that perhaps one is looking for in a memoir of recalling such dramatic events. I actually found that there were a lot of sort of intimate moments. One in particular, in which actually she takes us back for a moment to an early part of her life, where she's with her father at a roadside bar and restaurant in Pennsylvania, and she sees a bartender talking to her father, and she notices tattooed numbers on his wrist, and later on asks her father about it, and he explains that this man was an American prisoner of war held by the Nazis. And she uses that anecdote in reference to her discussion of going through some of the concentration camps, mm-hmm. Auschwitz and Birkenau, and I found that some of her descriptions of what are otherwise utterly political moments, whether they're in sort of godforsaken little villages in Africa or and usually they're not across the United States, they're international, that there's a real touching human element there, where we really get to see Hillary as a human being and focusing person to person on other human beings. And I think in some strange way, for me at least, that's where her humanity, that's where her intimacy is best revealed.
Well, Carl,
I would, go ahead. I would agree. I just think that I want to agree that I think the most humane parts of the book were written out of Washington.
Mm-hmm. I've not had a chance to even open the book, to tell you the truth, but from what I've read of it, people are complaining that it's awfully defensive. Carl, what do you think?
It's awfully, excuse me?
Defensive.
Yeah, I think it is, and I think it should be. It's a very interesting situation. I remember when Nancy Reagan's book came out. You may recall that book, which came out in 1989. It was called My Turn by Nancy Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
And
I can't say I read that one either.
Well, she really, you know, she had come under attack, of course, initially by a lot of liberals for being really, really insensitive to those people, American citizens, who were suffering under the recession of 81 and 82. And then by the end, by 88, 89, she's being attacked by conservatives who say that she is the one responsible for pushing her husband towards this, quote, softness towards the Soviet Union. And these women really do get attacked on every side, sometimes quite fairly and legitimately, most of the times not. Most of the time, this silly, stupid little things that they don't even think about are whipped up and completely taken out of context and become bona fide crises or scandals that if they respond to at that time, in the moment, it's going to end up creating more havoc, and it's going to be even more of a feast day for the media. And so they sort of decide, you know what, the hell with it. It's not worth it. When I do my memoirs, then it'll come out, and then that's where I'm going to give my side of the story. And I know that Mrs. Reagan did that, Mrs. Carter did that, Edith Wilson actually did that.
Well, she actually did run the country.
Yeah, and she actually did run the country. And I think Mrs. Clinton has done that. And I think what it really is a matter of is just sort of setting the record straight on their stand on a particular controversy. And you know, it's set in stone. They write it in their memoirs, and that's that. And it's sort of just getting the word out on it. But it's so, there even are some of these wonderful moments in the book which show you this sense of intense surreality of being a first lady, where she's at an event in Europe, I believe, or maybe it's in Africa, and Fidel Castro was there, and everyone is saying, don't, you can't talk to him, you can't acknowledge him, don't shake his hand, it's going to create havoc, it's going to send, you know, the anti-Castro factions in Florida insane and so forth. And so she's sort of like talking about being at this reception with all these world leaders, and she's kind of, you know, like darting away from Castro every time she thinks that he might even be headed in her direction of the room. I mean, I think the other thing is it does provide a little bit of a glimpse of this kooky world that these first ladies and presidents have to inhabit.
Carl Sferrazza Anthony, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Carl Sferrazza Anthony is the author of First Ladies, Volumes 1 and 2, and the author of America's First Families, an inside view of 200 years of private life inside the White House. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We're continuing with Mark Leibovich of The Washington Post. We're talking about Hillary Rodham Clinton's new book, Living History. And let's go to the phones. Stephen joins us from West Palm Beach in Florida.
I just wanted to let you know that I bought a book from my wife yesterday, and I was sort of taken by your comment that the book wasn't cathartic for Mrs. Clinton. My wife finds the book exceptionally cathartic for being married to me, and we're celebrating our 35th wedding anniversary this weekend. Right. So I guess some people find it that way.
No, I don't think for a second. I mean, I don't pretend to know whether Hillary found it cathartic in any way, shape, or form. I mean, I think one of the interesting phenomena about the Clinton years is that a lot of the anger at the administration was expressed through and even at Hillary Rodham Clinton. And the last few years, especially since the Monica Lewinsky scandal, there's been this great silence, and that great silence has been, you know, what does Hillary think of all this? So I think there was some great anticipation about, you know, finally she will speak on this, and, you know, $8 million advance, and it's, you know, obviously there's been a lot of buildup. And I think in light of what people might have been expecting or might have been hoping for, especially on that issue, maybe there's a little bit of dissatisfaction, you know, and certainly non-catharsis, if that's a term.
Yeah, Stephen, you're going to read it once your wife is done with it?
No, I'll listen to the interviews, but we'll all vote for her for president, though, nonetheless.
Okay.
Hopefully the interviews will be cathartic for you, Scott.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much for calling, Stephen. Mark, I wonder, did you find anything in the book a surprise?
Somewhat. I mean, there were some really great, first of all, there were some great catty moments that sort of in which you stepped out of character later on. I mean, there's a great passage about Strom Thurmond, I wouldn't say hitting on Chelsea Clinton at some state dinner, but clearly making some suggestive comments to her that I was just sort of floored by that she would write about. And then there was a great exchange that she had with Yeltsin sort of later on, and right before Yeltsin left power, where Yeltsin says to Hillary Clinton, you know, Hillary, I have a photo of you in my office, and I look at it all the time, and she's getting a little freaked out. And so there are some asides like that. I mean, she clearly, you know, there are some anecdotes of, you know, about Newt Gingrich coming to the White House and having, right after the Monica thing broke, him sort of leaning over to her and saying, you know, Mrs. Clinton, I think these charges against your husband are completely baseless. And then, you know, within a matter of months later, he's leading the impeachment charge. I guess, though, sort of in a larger sense, I was surprised by how familiar a lot of it felt, especially the later stuff. I mean, a lot of it, I wouldn't say the book was defensive, but a lot of it did mimic the sort of tone and content of the defenses that the Clintons had been putting up, you know, in the face of Whitewater, in the face of Ken Starr, in the face of any number of, you know, realms of criticism, in the certainly in the second term of their administration.
Let's get one last phone call. Linda joins us from Minneapolis.
Oh, hi. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
Well, you know, I just think that she is the most intelligent, talented, courageous person that, of course, I'm from Minnesota, and we have always supported her for the most part in this state, but I bought 5 books for my friends, and I know several friends that are going to buy the book. I've heard that it's well thought out and carefully worded, and I just believe that we should support her, and it's a shame that everyone except for NPR really tells it like it is, because she is such a wonderful, talented person, and good for her. Go, girl, go.
Okay, Linda, thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mark, yesterday in New York, you were up there. Who was getting in line to get this book signed by her?
A combination of tourists, a lot of actually foreign tourists were there. A number of people from Ireland I talked to, one from Kurdistan, one from Turkey I talked to. You know, quite a number of loyal Democrats. I think, you know, also when famous people do book signings, there is a fairly solid core of people who just show up to, you know, for a split second, bask in the reflective light of fame and get a book signed. And, you know, who knows, maybe they sell it on eBay within an hour, and or who knows, maybe they just sort of keep it forever. But
More men or more women?
I would say about half and half.
Okay.
Maybe a few more women.
All right, Mark, thanks very much.
Thanks, Neil.
Mark Leibovich is a political reporter for the Style section of the Washington Post. He was with us from the Post headquarters a few blocks down the street. We've been remiss over the past 2 weeks in not telling you about the people who work so hard behind the scenes to put this program on the air every day. Talk of the Nation is produced by Susan Lund, Setzko Sato, Justine Kennan, and Alicia Montgomery. Chad Campbell is our director. Brendan Banizak is our production assistant. Our intern is Amelia Shaw. Kevin Wade is our regular technical director. This week we're being well served by Michael Cullen. He gets help from Vince Muse and Mitch Eaton. Ellen Silva is our senior editor. Sue Goodwin, our senior producer. Leith Bishop is our executive producer. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.